Okay. I have heard that a lot since I've been up here. If you don't have GPS up here, you're in world trouble. especially if you're not from here. Sure, enjoyed being up here. I said enjoyed. We flew in Monday and from Amarillo, and I have found it doesn't take long for folks to know I'm not from here. To me, I talk normal. You all are a little off. Amen. So, but I've been told otherwise that we're the ones a little off, but I know this, a lot of friendly people in Maine. And it's been great to be here. I will tell you that I'm sure that there's a lot of folks will tell you that your cabin is great and thank you for it. I'd like to stop just a second and say thank you. We're church planters, which means ground up. From the ground up, we the Lord builds his work. Anybody work for contractors or anything before? They may have the name, but there's workers that do the work. Amen. So the Lord uses people. And I'm thankful for that. So we don't have a core group when you start. So you do have the revolving door like a lot of churches do. Folks will come and decide whether or not they want the Lord or not, and then they'll either stay or they won't stay. And you'll see a lot of folks moved by the word of God. And then some folks I don't know what they're looking for in church. To feel better about themselves, I'm not sure. But I do know this, that God changes lives if you choose him. And so we're seeing that happen. And you spend a lot of time doing that, and it's a lot of work. And you can become weary in the work, maybe even discouraged a bit from time to time. It just depends. It's an emotional roller coaster. And being able to come up here and spend a little time in your cabin, which is a very little time because the rest of the time you want to go see stuff and see the ocean. I'm in the Texas Panhandle. I lived in a town where you could see the outside of Amarillo. It's 42 miles away to Amarillo, and you can see the lights. So I tell you how flat it is. You can watch your dog run away for 3 days. So it's, which means there's a lot of wind and no trees. Trees are an endangered species where I'm at. So we love them, and it's great to be here. It's refreshing. Enjoy the people. Got to give the gospel out a few times while I was here, and it's a blessing. So there's a needy people even here. So it's a blessing. I just wanted to let you know that it may not seem like much, but there's a town of 15,000 people that I pastor to. And now I wish they were all in church, but we're trying to reach, and it refreshes us. So I want to say thank you. You've helped me, and I'm very thankful for that. And you've helped my wife, and she needs help. She's with me. So praise the Lord for you all. And I'm thankful that you opened up your property and let a guy from Texas come up and enjoy your great state. Enjoy it. We all have our troubles, but this is still a great state. We did go to Boston. That's a little crazy down there. We did come back up, and as soon as we crossed the line, we've seen the sign that says home, and it feels that way here. And I'm thankful for that. So thank you, please. I mean that. Thank you. What I really love is getting into the Word of God. My name is Todd Cockrell. I've been pastoring for 6 years. I've been in the ministry for quite a long time before that. I've been a youth director. My job is miscellaneous, a little bit of everything, from a bus driver to the bus mechanic to preaching to the youth, just a little bit of everything. And the Lord's really blessed. My wife has been in ministry with me all the whole time and put up with me. And she's great, and is a great minister to our ladies. And so I just want to say thank you for both of us. I do have three children. My son Luke is at Heartland Baptist Bible College next month, back for a second year. I have a son who's in the ministry also there with us. And then my daughter is married to a young man that she met at Bible College, and their youth directors in Topeka, Kansas. Which to me, that was a long way east until I've come here. And so we're a family that's not new to ministry, but loves the Lord And it's wonderful to see that clear over here in Maine, that there's a church that loves the Lord also. And it's good to see a lot of folks here. Now, I'm used to a church plant, which means we're not full. So I may have to ask everyone to move over and so I can see more seats open, right? So Lord's blessed us. We've had a little bit in, of trouble with COVID, just like everyone else has. We were up to about 40 people. That knocked us back down to 20 or so. And we're seeing an influx come back, and probably averaging around 30 people or so for a church plant 4 years or 5 years in. Well, next month will be 6 years. That's pretty well for a church plant in our day. So we're thankful that the Lord's blessed. Now you know a little bit about me. Let's get to what we're all here for today, and that's the Lord. Matthew, the book of Matthew in chapter number 14, please. Matthew in chapter number 14. I love the Word of God. Talked a little bit with your pastor. He's a great man. I'm sure you already know. And if you don't know, you need to get to know him. He's a good guy. Don't tell him I said that. I've got him fooled so far. So he's a friend already. And I'm thankful for that. I'm kind of like my pastor. If I'm your friend, you don't really have a choice in that matter. We're just going to be friends. Amen. So I'm thankful for you, for your pastor. He's a great pastor. I can see the Lord really blessing his life. So Matthew chapter 14, I'm going to do this a little different than I usually do. This is not going to be every sermon's a Bible study. Amen. But I want to use some scripture to highlight what we're doing and what we're finding in our text here this morning, in Matthew chapter number 14. We're going to start in verse number 13. We're going to see some things happen here that have happened because of prior chapters, of course. And it's exciting. If you are able to stand for God's word, please. Matthew chapter 14, look at verse number 13. The Bible says, when Jesus heard of it, now this is what has happened here is he's dealt with Herod, the tea charge here, and Herodias, his wife, who is upset, and some things have happened there. And you go down and you see John the Baptist, amen, not John the Methodist. John the Baptist, amen. I like labels because I do not like broccoli. And if I open up a can that's full of broccoli, I'd be upset. I'm opening up beef, amen. So I like labels. I like that he's a Baptist. There's a reason they call him John the Baptist for what he was doing, the doctrines that are there. Amen. I'm all about labels in that manner. So it tells us who he is. So he's been in prison, and he gave his life for the Lord. Amen. So after they've heard these things, then they move on. And we see that again in verse number 14. Verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion towards them. Praise the Lord that the Lord is interested in multitudes. He's interested in singles, and he's interested in multitudes. Verse, moved in the multitudes there, verse 14 again, and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give them to eat. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, I don't believe that's loaves like Baptist loaves. Amen. I don't believe this is a lot. I believe it's a young boy bringing it, so we know that it's not a lot. And I don't believe it's the coast fishes that you have here, which are some of the, those are like big dogs in our state. Amen. So I imagine just a little meal that came. In verse number 18, he said, bring them hither to me. And he said, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looked up to heaven, and he blessed and brake the and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat. and we're filled. Come on, we're Baptists. When we eat, we want to be filled. We're not talking about a snack. They were filled. Amen. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. So they were full and they had plenty left over. Verse 21, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. I've entitled the message this morning, Unlimited Resources. I like the subtitle though, Abundant Leftovers. Abundant Leftovers. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for this time in your house. We're thankful for this good group of folks here. I ask that you'd bless the preaching of your word. But Lord, we desire that we'd have hearers here today that would hear. Do love you, Lord. Please again bless as we move forward in the message this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Hold your spot here in your text. And I'm going to give you just a little refresher. I've been in the book of Matthew, it seems like, for ages. And I've really enjoyed that. Back up to Matthew chapter 5. I want to point out just a few things here. We're not going through the whole Sermon on the Mount by any means, but I want to show you something here that's I believe will be a help to you if you'll let it. I want you to, in Matthew chapter 5, we see a transition point here. Jesus Christ has, we're watching him. Listen, the Lord called out the church, amen. He's the author of it. Praise the Lord. So we have he's called out Peter, James, John, and them, and they've come up and they've been with Jesus for a little while. We've seen before this, you see some baptisms and you see those things. So you see them putting together a church. And now we get into Matthew chapter 5, and there's discipleship is what's going on here. It is the Sermon on the Mount, but he's teaching his disciples how to be soul winners, how to be peacemakers. And we'll see that. And I just want to give you a little bit here. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1. He says, and seeing the multitudes, there's your key. From Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1, through the 5, 6, 7, 8, and even to where we're at now, this is the most important part, probably the theme of the book, and seeing the multitudes. Listen, we need to be able to see the multitudes. No, there is multitudes. I have found in Maine, it's hard to see anything. You have trees in the way of everything. And I'm thankful for that, because in Hereford, you don't have that. And that's where I pastor, the town where I'm at, right outside Amarillo. But we don't have all those things. But I live in a town, the town I pastor in is a town of 15,000 people. And if 15,000 people were all at our church at one time, I'd say this, there's multitudes. I'm not quite sure how big Liberty is, but I would imagine the three towns that kind of surround this and stretch out here, if everybody was to show up at one time, we would say, there's multitudes. If you don't think there's multitudes, drive down to Highway 1, which is not too far from here, and try to get into traffic there. There's multitudes. There's people everywhere. We went to Bar Harbor. Multitudes. There's multitudes there, and I really thought that'd be a place I loved, but I found it more of a challenge than I did anything, because there's multitudes of people everywhere. Maine's a very popular place, so there's multitudes. Listen, if you go to Walmart, there's multitudes. If you go down to the store, there's multitudes. If we'll but see, there's multitudes everywhere. Is there not? Sure, we just get used to living life. You see, we don't look at it from a higher place looking at people. Most of the time, we're down here just living life, going to work and going to school and going down to the lakes, rivers, and oceans. You have everything here. It's great. But if you'll stop and look around, there's multitudes everywhere. There are multitudes, and we just have to see that. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. So there's lots of people. There's multitudes. And this is Jesus Christ himself here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. He says, and seeing the multitudes. Who sees them here? Jesus Christ. He sees them, and he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, which means he's ready to go there, ready to teach, his disciples came unto him. The multitudes aren't there. He says, seeing the multitudes, I kind of imagine, listen, put yourself into scripture. It's a lot funner. Funner is not even a great word, but where I'm from, it's great because we're just downhole people, right? It's funner, right? It's more fun. All right. So there's his disciples, and there's Jesus Christ, and he's set. And he's set to teach them. Listen, we need the Lord. If I was to think of discipleship, number one, I think of the Word of God. Amen. We need that. But when I think of discipleship and I think of Jesus Christ teaching the discipleship, that's a whole nother level, isn't it? And I'm thankful for this, because what you get into after this are the Beatitudes, but it's more than just an attitude, though there's a lot of attitude in here. He teaches us how to reach the multitudes is what's going on. And seeing the multitudes, he wasn't scared of the multitudes. He came to seek and save that which is lost. So he takes his disciples. Listen, if your pastor is the only one trying to reach liberty, how long is that going to take? Long time. How many people we have in here? Quite a few. How about we all go? How long is it going to take then? If we disperse out. But what are we going to do? Well, we need to be taught by Jesus Christ. Amen. So, and seeing the multitudes, he gets set and he starts to teach his disciples. Now, I'm just going to give you a couple things here, and you can study down the rest of the way, but I'm just going to point out some keys here. I'm going to give you the first key here. Look at verse number four, or excuse me, verse three. Two, just to get a run at it. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, so he's teaching the disciples here in verse number three. We'll start off. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you see that spirit there? It's a small s, isn't it? So he's not talking about the Spirit of God. That's a capital S. Amen. With a capital S, if you have the Spirit of God, if you have nothing, you have Christ, you have everything. You're not poor. So blessed are the poor in spirit, small s, so that's your spirit. You know why most people don't reach multitudes? Because they can't get over themselves. Everybody's wearing a capital S on the front of their shirt, meaning I'm all about me. If we can't get over me, we'll never see the multitudes. So blessed is the poor in spirit? Yeah, because if you can get over yourself, you can reach multitudes. Amen? That's why we're here today. We're here to let God change our lives so we can reach other people. Amen. What's the next one there? Blessed are they that mourn. Anybody ever mourn for someone? I've lost my mom and I've lost my dad, so I don't like to mourn. I don't. So, but we're talking about the multitudes in context here, are we not? So if we can get over ourselves, we can see the multitudes, and heaven's real. Praise the Lord. But hell is also real. I don't want to see anybody go there. And if I can get over myself and see the multitudes and understand the truth is this, that if they don't get saved, they're headed for hell. Amen. It's a hard truth, but it's true. And praise the Lord for the love of Christ, which came and is training us to reach them so that doesn't happen. Amen. So we can get over ourselves and care enough that we're willing to actually mourn for people. You're blessed. God said, that's a blessed attitude. Do you see how this works? Amen. How is this going to verse number 14? Because, well, here he's teaching them in chapter number 14, we're going to see it in action. So just look down again through five. I'm going to bring out just a couple real quick here in this chapter. Blessed are the meek. You know what meek is? Meek is being, folks can talk to you. One of the things I like about Maine is you can just walk up, start talking to people, and you 30 minutes later, you might be done. Amen. I've noticed you all fellowship around here a little bit. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Blessed are the meek. It doesn't matter who you are. Let's just talk. Amen. So meek. The Bible says Moses was the meekest man in the Bible. Now, Moses also was, I believe he was a man's man. Listen, he come down out of the mountain. They were worshiping an idol down there. He stomps it into the ground, puts it into water, and made them drink it, and they drank it. Amen. I don't believe he was a wimp. I believe it. I mean, it's amazing that this happened, but it also says he's the meekest man. I believe in Scripture, you can see people come talk to Moses anytime. Didn't matter if you were the top dog or the little dog, you'd come talk to Moses. Can people talk to you? If we're meek, folks can talk to us, whether they're the little kids who need people to talk to, or the elderly or mature. Amen. Rich or poor, intelligent or not intelligent, educated or not, can people talk to you? So you see how this works. So as you get down to verse number nine, blessed are the peacemakers. Listen, peacemakers, what does a peacemaker do? Peacemakers makes peace. Amen. Between who? The multitudes and God. He's teaching them how to be peacemakers. How do you do that? Well, number one, you're going to be poor in spirit. Do you see how this works? You're gonna get over yourselves. You're gonna actually care about others. You're gonna be meek so people can actually talk to you, so you can be a peacemaker and give them the gospel, which is that intercession between God and man. Amen. That's your job. So you're separate. That's where you get into, you go on down to salt and light down there. You need to be salt of the earth, the Bible says. Listen, I believe in steak. That's where I'm from. We don't have the ocean, so I believe in steak. Amen. Now I know this, salt is good. My steak, my salt doesn't need steak. My steak needs salt. Are you with me? So you're to be the salt of the earth. You're not supposed to be the earth. You're supposed to be different, a changing agent. Amen. So you're the salt of the earth. You're not supposed to be like everyone else. We're different. Amen. I've met some of you already. You're different. Praise the Lord. Me too. I fit right in. So I'm thankful. Mouth says light. Listen, if you turn the light on, light always wins. You're a changing agent in a dark world. You see how this works? I'm supposed to be different. Different how? As a peacemaker that's over themselves and reaching other people. It's important that we understand Christ is teaching us how to reach the multitudes. He's teaching his disciples here how to reach the multitudes. And it's so important. Look at verse number 19. One of the things that happens, they start teaching them about, or accusing Christ and his disciples about getting rid of the law. Can I help you with the law real quick? Jesus Christ did not get rid of the law. The law is still there. Here's how this happens. If you get a ticket running 65 and a 55, you broke the law. Amen? The law is there to keep us safe. I believe you can go 65. Some other people here would think that you can go 45. So who's right? The sign that says to go 55. Amen. So the law is still good. If the Bible says thou shalt not kill, then that's a good law, right? So if someone pays for your ticket, that would be great. But he's not going to pay for our ticket to go right back out and break the same law. So Christ said, I'm not coming to remove the law. I fulfilled the law. But there are principles that are in the law. Thou shalt not kill, amen, is a good law. I like that. Everybody else, amen? Good, otherwise I was getting a little nervous up here. So can you see how this is coming? So he says right here, he says, for thou shalt break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, so he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. What he's saying here is we have levels of service. I just drove 60 in a 55. It's okay. Well, to me, I think you're right, but we're going for least. It wasn't like I was driving 110 out there. I don't know how you pull it off on all these curves, but I wasn't doing that. That would to us would be great. He gets into the law here, thou shalt not kill, but he also gets into just real quickly here. I'm doing a lot of setup to get where we're at. He also says that if you say the wrong things, if you call someone in our day, Raka, in our day, that would be stupid, ridiculous, whatever. We're saying, well, listen, I didn't kill anybody. I just called him an idiot. And they cut me off. They had it coming. Right, come on. We would say that's least. As a peacemaker, our job is not to go for least. We're held accountable. See, law versus grace. A lot of folks want to use grace for least. And the truth is, we have the grace of God in our life to do more, not less. Are you with me here this morning? Never least. Least. The Bible says, if you're going to take least and then stand before me and say, well, at least I didn't do this. God says, you're my disciple. You're a peacemaker. I hold you accountable for something greater. You can do more, not least. And he gives three or four examples there. He gets into lust. Listen, the root of anger, or the root of murder, is anger. And all the times we get angry, we'll say something. And we'll say, well, at least I didn't kill someone. That's what we're looking at in our text there. And I was mad. I couldn't help it. And God says, by the grace of God, you can't help it. And then you get into, in our text here, you also get into your word, your oaths. You get into a lot of things here. And God says, what he's trying to teach us is this: you can do more. Because multitudes' lives are on the line. You don't have to speak that way. You don't have to think that way. You don't have to do those things. By the grace of God, you can do more. You can give up your personal rights. You're going to find in Matthew chapter 5 to go the extra mile, to love your enemies, to agree with your adversary. Anybody have any adversaries? He said you can agree with your adversary. Why? Because grace of God is greater than your personal rights. And that comes tough when we start talking about COVID. Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. If I have to wear a mask to win someone to the Lord, I'll do it. Amen. Well, my personal rights. Listen, I live in America. I live in Texas. And I'm just telling you, I understand personal rights. But I'm willing to do what I have to reach someone else. Why? Because multitudes are on the line. Now, with those things being said, flip back to Matthew chapter number 14 again. Verse 13. Now we went from teaching to on-the-job training. And here we have the disciples. Have you ever noticed that the disciples mess things up? A lot of us want to say we're Paul. I am Paul, the one that really does well for the Lord, and I'm just knowledgeable. But the truth is, I'm probably more like Peter. Stick my foot in the mouth all the time. About the time I think things are going well, how in the world did I get here? I struggle in my walk. Anybody else? Am I the only one? Okay, amen. Well, I'm probably more like that. In our text, we're going to see all of them doing the same thing. So let's just kind of work down our way down through this, because we have the feeding of the 5,000, but there's more here than just the feeding. He's helping his disciples see some things here. So look at again, verse number 13. And when Jesus heard of it, he left by thence into a desert place. And when the people heard of it, they followed him out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. So here we are at the multitudes again. Now they're not in the mount anymore, but we are around a multitude. And they're exhausted. Verse 13 says this: he went into a desert place apart. Have you ever felt like you needed to be apart? That's what I'm doing this week. I've been apart. I'm not in Amarillo, Texas anymore. I'm up in the great state of Maine, but I'm apart. Why? I've been a little tired, to be honest with you. I've been tired. I've been visiting. I've been doing a lot of things in the ministry, and I've come apart. Not that I don't love ministering. Thank you, sir. You're great. You are now my favorite person. Amen. But we come apart. Now, you've heard those terms, come apart or you'll come apart. I have felt that way. I love to minister. I love those things. But as we see here, Jesus Christ before this has been ministering. The disciples have been ministering. And they've come apart into a remote place. In verse 13, we also see, and when the people had heard thereof, they followed him. So the multitude has come out. They've come out on foot out to the cities trying to find him. Now we know that he's tired, because in our corresponding chat, our corresponding book here, parallel passage, it would be in Mark chapter 6, verse 31. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. So we know they were needing to rest. So he comes apart, head for the desert. Surely no one's going to be in the desert, right? So they head to the desert, and he comes apart to get some rest. They needed that rest, but there's people. Not just people. Here it says a great multitude. So a great multitude has followed them. In verse number 14, it says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. Again, it's a great multitude. Now remember chapter 5, verse 1, and seeing the multitude. So now that they saw this, they've seen that, they've been trained, you'd think that with this great multitude, they'd have a little different vision, shouldn't they? One would think after all that training and how important it is, Jesus here, he has compassion on them. He's stirred toward them. In spite of his own needs, he helps them. Listen, if they're tired, he's tired. He's bringing them to rest a little bit. Listen, he is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can in your mind, you can be as super as you want to be. But the truth is, this is the old bodies wear out. I walked out to that point out on Rockland, or what is that place where you walk out on? Oh, yes, there. That's a long way out there. It was. I needed rest when I got to the end. Nobody high-fived me, said I did a good job or anything. I was just happy I made it. So I needed rest when I got there. But there's lots of people there. I've noticed there's lots of people at these lighthouses this time of year. There's a lot of people there. So, but the truth is, in spite of my own needs, I needed to see others while I was out there. I needed to see others. There's people walking those bricks and those great rocks that are boulders to me. Boy, everyone you're past, do they know the Lord? Do they not? You got to see things differently. Have to see things differently. And when it says, and when it was evening, so now they've been there all day in verse number 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time now is past. Send the multitude away. So Jesus Christ has compassion on him. And the first thing that we hear from the disciples is send them away. Send them away. Now I understand they're thinking of food. We can't support what they have, but he says, send them away. So the needs are more than what they have. That's what they're saying. Listen, we're going to have to send them away because we can't take care of them. Their needs are more than what we can have. So, and remember that what a great need of people there is in our day as we look at multitudes of having a peacemaker, someone willing to give them the gospel. But listen, they are in need of rest here. But the people are in need of the gospel. They're in need of Jesus Christ. So what a great need for people to work for the Lord to the point where they're just tired. Have you ever... We took one day and we drove down to Boston and then drove back. Did the walk, the trail there. Had a great time seeing that. By the time we got back, we were whooped. I slept good that night. Amen. But I know sometimes in ministry, I don't make myself as tired as I was that night. I'm telling on myself here. What a great need there is for folks just to work until they're tired and then work a little more. They were tired. They went out into a desert place. People followed. Jesus Christ said himself that they needed rest. But Jesus saw the multitude and had compassion on them. I look around here and I can tell in Maine that there's people that work here. There are people that are, I don't believe you're lazy people at all. But sometimes we work so hard on our needs that we miss the needs of others. And if we don't see them, who's going to? And if we're always so tired we can't work a little more, who's going to see them? Who's going to reach them? I like people that are just willing to lay their head down at night working for the Lord and just get some good rest. We need people in our day that are willing to serve, to serve. I understand the need to come apart. Jesus Christ understood the need. I'm telling you, when I get back to Hereford, I'm getting back to work. And I don't mean my job. I mean reaching other people. There's a great need. There's a great need for people just to work until they're tired. We live in a day when a lot of folks can't handle lengthy preaching, much less serving God. And I'm a Baptist, so I believe in short preaching. Notice I didn't look up. But when you come to the place where you're willing to work for the Lord, there's two ways to handle exhaustion. One, the needs of the people outweigh your needs. That's one way, and that's what happened with Jesus Christ. We see the Sermon on the Mount, which we just went over, in action where they're at. Listen, over themselves, enough to mourn for others. You care enough, you can go the extra mile. Are you seeing this? The people need that peacemaker, willing to sacrifice energy, even when we're tired. Listen, that's when you find somebody that's serving when they're still tired, that's when you find a servant. That's when you find somebody who really cares. It's easy to do something when you're all rested up. It's harder when you're tired and you can see heart there. Or you can be like the disciples, which is send it away. They'll be okay. We don't have what they need anyways. If we don't have it, who does? Christ has given us the church. Too many have this mindset in our day. It's never the right time. It's never the right place. Listen, it was late. They were in the desert. I live in the Texas Panhandle, which compared to here is, y'all haven't made, is the way I look at it when you have it here. But the truth is, I don't even have desert where I'm at. We have some things. I like to make more of it than it is, but we're doing okay. But I'm telling you, I've met a lot of people that it's never the right time. I tell you, next week I'll serve God, or next year I'll serve God. When I hit this place in my life, I will serve God. And the truth is, if you're waiting for that time, it'll never be that time. You'll never have enough money. You'll never have enough sleep. You'll never be young enough. You'll never be old enough. It'll never be right. So the truth is, maybe you feel like you're in a desert place in your life. Just serve. Christ is sufficient. He'll be enough. It's not about you anyways. Just serve God. We'll win. Well, I'm sure there's people here that need somebody just to talk to you. How about these little ones? Or how about as soon as you open that door and you walk outside and you go down to the general store, which is a popular place. There's not many places you can go. How about down there? We had some great breakfast there yesterday, and I was asking if they're going to be open Monday because we're leaving Monday, and they're not open Monday. But the problem is they're open today. So somebody's not in church. I think there's a whole bunch of peacemakers here. It'd be great to go invite someone to church. Amen. Well, I just don't see them that way when I go into the store. I'm thinking I need a, y'all call it pop, soda. In Texas, we just call it a Coke. Amen. Maybe Dr. Pepper, but it's a Coke, right? Then you state what you want. So y'all are a little different. I'll help you. I'll help you. But they need some people from there, from here. See, the guy from Texas, they already think I'm weird. And they're right. They need some folks like you that would go in and say, today's the day. Now is the time. We can reach them. I was just so tired I didn't see them. No, that's not you anymore. You see them. Why? Because Christ has you. I'm so over myself that I'm willing to see others. It's got to be the right time. And we know that it's a ministry command. Look at verse 16. Jesus says unto them, they need not depart, give them to eat. I don't have what it takes. Listen to him. I get around, as a pastor, I'm 6 years in. I get around some of these guys that have been doing it 30 years, and I'm intimidated. I'm just telling you, I am. I don't, even as a pastor, I don't think I have enough knowledge. Well, when we talk about the Bible, we're talking about the depths of God, right? I don't think we'll ever have what we think is enough. We never will. But the Bible does talk about, even as a child, that was able to understand the scriptures, right? So use what you know to reach others. Amen. God will be enough. It's about him. And it always amazes me that people will come by and they'll need something, or the conversation will be pretty close to what I just learned in church. Amen. Or maybe it was my Bible reading. God will bring people by. We just got to be able to talk to him about it. We got to stop. We got to get away from the place where we're not turning them away and hope somebody else will reach them. It's got to be us. It has to be us in Maine, in Amarillo, Texas, and the other coast. Everything in between, it has to be churches that are focused on Christ, have the word of God. He is enough, amen? And he's enough to reach everyone. We got to come to the place where we're not willing to just turn them away. In verse number 17, it says, and saying to them, and they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, listen, it wound up being enough, wasn't it? Not only was it enough for them, it was enough at the end of this. We see that it was enough for the women and children also. Now, we understand that in their day, they counted the men, and then everyone else was kind of added in as women and children. So we know that God was not only enough, sufficient to meet the needs, their needs of the 5,000, but he was way more than enough to reach everyone. Amen. We have way more than enough to reach everyone. The women, the children. Listen, you talked about a bus ministry out there, but use it. Reach those kids. I know of some pastor friends of mine that were reached on the bus ministry. I'm just telling you, anything that we have, use it for them. Listen, they made a search, did they not? And all they found was five loaves and two fishes. That's it. That's all they found. Well, let's look around the property. You just have this little house over there. Well, now you have a pastor that's encouraged, fixing to go back and try to light the town on fire again for not. We got to be careful how you say those things nowadays. Amen. But with the word of God, we want to reach others. It's enough. It's enough to help people. I don't know who you have next in there, but I'm going to tell you, if I run into pastors, I'm going to tell them about y'all. It's great up here. It's great. You folks are refreshing people. Well, maybe I don't have enough. Use what you have. Use what you have. We just have a little bus out there. What if that little bus out there is the very one that brings in the next pastor? You just don't know. I had my door knocked on. Someone invited me to church. You believe that? Them crazy people? Even crazier, they knocked on my door 3 times in 1 week, all on accident. The Lord knows I'm hard-headed. Amen. But they knocked, and one was a pastor's son. I didn't know that at the time. And the other one was just a guy in church. Invited me to a revival where I finally got to hear real Bible preaching. And it changed everything. Started a church. Listen, 15,000 people in our town alone are hearing the gospel. Yesterday and watching the tide. I thought that was amazing. And an elderly lady come by, and before we know it, she's Catholic. She come by, and before you know it, I got to give her the gospel. Had no idea how to get to heaven. No idea. Stood up by the lighthouse where movie Forrest Gump ran out to. Right? I didn't even know it till they told me the people that were there. I got to give the gospel to 5 more. And it's just through conversation. I didn't walk up and say, y'all need the Lord. You know, they would have ran from me, right? Matter of fact, I just said hello, started talking, slowed down for a minute over my time and talked to them. And before you know it, I got to give the gospel. I think 2 of them were saved and 2 of them had no idea. And before it was over, they were asking me to pray with them. I'm just telling you, they got to hear a clear-cut presentation of the gospel. I don't know if anything ever happened out of that, but information. The Bible says that God's word will not return void. It'll start a seed. Who knows who's the next person? Maybe it's you. Maybe they'll tell you they met this crazy pastor out there that'll stand out on the rocks like you've never seen water before. And he'll use you, and you'll say, hey, that guy preached for us. I don't know, but I'm just telling you that if we'll get over ourselves and see and understand that today's the day. We can't have the world's logic, which is not enough. We have to understand that Christ can accomplish all. He's enough. He is enough. Look at it also. Do you see that in verse, look verse number 19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the, what's that word? Last time I checked, they're in the desert, right? But they sat down in the grass. God's enough where you're at. We're in liberty. The world's going to listen to us in liberty. Who's going to listen to the Lord in the desert? But God cleared off a spot, and there was grass. God is sufficient where you're at, whether it's Hereford, Texas, whether it's here. Some folks think, well, I've got to go to the metropolitan area and reach the folks there, and they need the Lord too. And if God's calling you there, then go. There's a piece of grass right here that God will use you here to reach multitudes. No, great multitudes. Greater than, listen, he's all sufficient. There's plenty. I can't do anything here. No, you can do something here. You can do it right here if you'll just park a spot in your local New Testament church. Amen. Learn of God, then take what you know, even if it's just a little bit of a sandwich, amen, and go reach somebody with it. It's just doing. You have to understand that our sufficiency is not us, but it's in God. And if we'll use what God said, we'll use God's word, there'll be enough and there'll be much more left over. Amen. Before you know it, you'll have talked, and like I'm doing right now, preaching and preaching and preaching and with abundant leftovers. Amen. There's plenty. There's plenty to go around. We just have to change our vision and understand Christ is what we need. And our job is not just to go there and hope we can do something. Our job, even if we think we need rest, is just to obey God. He said, don't send them away. Use what you have. If you'll inventory your life, God will use what you have. Listen, the disciples, last time I checked, it's not like they were just great folks. They were fishermen. Peter dropped his nets, dropped everything and followed God. Dropped everything. I think too many people are holding on. Hold on to things that won't last. We want God to bless us for things we're supposed to let go of. Let go of it. God will supply. How do you know? 5 loaves and 2 fishes, there's plenty left over. They ate too. They were fine. We have to understand that we have to use what we have. When we obey the call of God and let him use what we have, maybe you feel like you don't have much in the mind. Well, it's God's word, not yours. You have plenty. You do. I'd say probably our biggest problem, one of our biggest problems, is that we keep turning people away. Boy, somebody else will do it. Let somebody else. Here's a great prayer request. Pray that the Lord would send them to. Why don't you quit praying that somebody else will go and you go? Who's going to reach the town next to us? If you're pastor, I'm sure your land here is just like our land. All around us, there's towns without a true Bible preaching church. Multitudes are waiting. Who's going to go? You? That's the command, isn't it? I just don't have enough. I bet you have a pastor that'll train you. Maybe you need to go back to the Sermon on the Mount and learn lesson number one, which is this. Come unto God and get over you. Get over you enough to where, how far do I need to go getting over me? Enough that you're willing to mourn for others. You can come there. You'll be the peacemaker you should be. Then follow Christ and know he'll be enough. He'll be enough for where you're at. Inventory your life. See what you have today, right now. I'm tired. Yep. The dark comes. And you're to be a light. Salt. Changing agents here. Red bowed, every eye closed. I ask you, are you using what you have for God today? Does it matter enough to you? Are you so focused on your needs that you're turning others away? That same Sermon on the Mount, God promises to take care of you. Even when you're tired, even when you're in the desert, God took care of them. And there's enough. If you're worried about if Christ is enough, don't worry. He'll be enough. You just move forward. So I pray I wonder if there's anyone here today that would say this. I've been holding back. I've been making excuses like it's not the right time or the right place. But today I know it's now. May God use your life. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. I'm thankful that it is sufficient to meet every need. Great multitudes were met because of your hand, Lord. The command, Lord, is just to follow you and bring them to you. You're what everyone needs. The gospel message is sufficient in our day for all who come to you. There is plenty. We love you, Lord. Bless in the time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's just take a moment to go to the Lord in prayer while the piano's playing.